walk with other people, I want you to think about something. When you want time alone, even though you went with a friend, and let's say you're walking down a very quiet road, okay, just the sheer fact of knowing that you have a friend somewhere nearby is enough to distract you. Now, I'll give you an example of mind walking that you guys probably experienced. Because mind walking doesn't mean literally you have to be walking, okay? Have you ever been by yourself out in nature? No one with you. Just totally absolute peace of mind by yourself. No time schedule, no nothing. Like maybe on a road or something, you're driving, you just pull over and it's just the heat on you. There's no cars, no nothing. Maybe the hum of a bird or an insect. Just absolute nothing. Has anybody ever experienced that? Just complete personal isolation?
Yeah.
I'm not hearing everybody. I need to be sure everybody understands what I'm talking about. When you have that perfect isolation, isn't there a feeling of contentment for just a few moments inside of you that isn't really has a word, it's just a sense of being? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Do you follow me? It's just a feeling of, you know, just complete, just peace with yourself, okay? That is the first step of dimension walking. The idea is then to consciously move through an environment in that state of consciousness and let it enhance itself to higher levels, okay? That's kind of what you're trying to achieve. When you're with other people, what happens is it becomes distracting, it's competitive, other people are seeing things and you think you should be seeing things. They're like, oh wow, look at that or this, and again, it distracts your mind. Other people will have too much noise that they're making or something. But in the beginning, you must do this on your own to really, truly develop it. The basic layout to beginning to something like this, okay, is to find an area that's not in the city, because you can dimension walk in the city also. I mean, that's how I spot other beings and people and aliens amongst us and whatever else, because I can physically see them totally different than what they look like as human. Or I'll see their energy fields differently, or I'll just sense them through a crowd and I'll specifically be able to figure out which one it is.
There's like aliens.
We're not going to get into that. You didn't want to do UFOs, remember? Anyway, so, in either case, this state of consciousness is, again, your sensories. Your sensories increase. Your sense of sight increases because you start to see energy fields without really having to will yourself constantly. You just kind of look around and see them. Your sense of hearing increases to such a level that the slightest sound is like four times louder to you. You can even get to the point where you're in such a dimensional state that you can hear a specific noise and it captures your interest, and you literally will all of a sudden just close your eyes and you will three-dimensionally, like a camera speeding through trees and woods and grass, you'll just like follow the sound until you find it, whether it be a bird or an animal biting on something or whatever. You'll physically see it in your head, you'll just like snap out of it and you'll just know. Of course, these are what I do, so it's going to take time for you to develop to that level, and I don't want to make it sound too over-glorified for you until you get to that level, otherwise you'll get discouraged. Your total sensories just increase. Your sense of smell will increase. You'll literally be able to smell someone's cologne like half a mile away. Literally, smell it. You'll be able to smell human smell from a great distance or animal smells. It just goes on and on. So these are just certain things that are going to happen besides just being able to see things dimensionally. One of the things, if you go out at night, you'll be able to look, let's say if you're looking at an open field at night, you will see perhaps dimensional squares. Okay. Now, you have to keep in mind, you might say, well, if they're dimensional, why would it be such a perfect square? You know, it looks man-made or intelligent-made. I will remind you that all things pretty much take on a crystallization form, whether they be, you know, diamond shape or square or something, but the universe pretty much has a standard of structuralization. So what you will see is you'll see black squares on the land masses or on the side of a cliff or something, or you might see some other thing. And those are literally dimensional doors, but I mean, you could under the right circumstances. This is a miniaturization, per se, of the Bermuda Triangle, the Devil's Triangle or something. There are miniature versions, I think, all over the place. Some of them are usually higher in the air, some not, but you have to be in the right state of mind, the right circumstances, the right temperature. I mean, there's so many things that have to be perfect for it to happen. But again, I was mentioning how there was this little girl who disappeared and this boy who disappeared by walking around a corner, you know, and it was like 12 years apart or something.
Where did they go?
Probably to another dimension.
Were they happy there?
Well, they might be very dead. I mean, there's dimensions you cannot physically exist on as a human being.
So you go into and you die?
Yes. So, I mean, not everything is like, you know, cartoons. Everything works out perfect every time you go through something. Let's say that dimensional doors are somehow connected, like dotted lines, to other planets. Let's say that you walk through a dimensional door and it automatically puts you on Jupiter. How are you physically going to exist on Jupiter? The air alone, let's say, is acid or gaseous. Your skin's going to burn instantly, and you're going to take one breath, and the temperature's going to be over 300 degrees to inhale. You'll be dead in a matter of seconds.
So don't go through these doors.
Well, I don't recommend it. You know what I'm saying? You could go through a dimensional door, and it brings you to some other world that's completely habitable. But how many planets in the universe do you think that are identical to Earth?
How do you know whether or not to go into these doors?
Well, if you have years of experience, such as myself, and you've developed projection, you send your projection first. And that's about how I did. You just kind of know now. I'm at such a point now where I don't even project. I don't do any of those things. It's just a matter of just thinking about it. And I just know the circumstances in great detail. But we all must start off somewhere. In either case. So, but you will see these things. So it's you have a basic knowledge of what they are. Don't be consumed with them. Be more consumed with taking in the overall picture. Do you understand what I'm saying? One of the other things, if you look over a darkened area and you go into the right state of mind, you'll see balls of light. You'll also look and you'll see a flash of light, literally a bright electrical flash. Those are energy dimensions. Nobody else will see it. Or some people, if they're on the right state of mind, will see them identically at the same time as you. These are all pitches. It's a frequency. Your mind is energy. Your body's energy. So you're tunneled. Huh?
Balls of light and flashes through dimensional doors?
No, they're not dimensional doors. They're just simply... Okay. There's different kinds of... No. You're absolutely right. It's important that I explain things to you. Detail is everything. There are dimensional doors that travel from point A to point B. From physical plane to physical plane. Okay? Then there are dimension of time and space. That means that there are dimensions passing through here and coexisting at the same time. So there's two different kinds of dimensions, and it's important that we keep this in mind, that there's the kind of dimension where you could say you're dimensionally traveling through space and time from point A to point B, which is kind of like the Bermuda Triangle or whatever. This is a dimensional vortex of types. And keep in mind, just for the record, that I don't necessarily believe that the Bermuda Triangle is necessarily always dimensional. It's going to send objects through there. I suspect highly that there's a lot of stuff at the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle in the ocean. But what was interesting is that magnetism and energy dimensionally just vanished temporarily enough for them to screw their crafts up so that they crash into the ocean. But then I also strongly believe that there are dimensions where objects can completely physically disappear into another dimension between here and there, but physically be constructed. Like there was this huge barge that was being pulled, and what happened was, as the ship was pulling, you could hear the engines going, and they were crossing through there, and the barge was probably, you know, about the size of the building, half the size, and they had a huge rope pulling it, and in the process of pulling it, the barge disappeared. It was completely invisible. There was nothing there, and it was only maybe 50 to 80 feet away. But the rope was still high strong tension. You could literally walk on it because it's such a large object it was pulling. And the rope went out several hundred feet or 50 feet, whatever the distance was, and then it stopped in the middle of the air and it was just hanging as if somebody cut it invisibly. And it was still pulling. The engine was still pulling hard, but they just physically couldn't see it. Then after, and of course, everything you know, like the compass and everything was spiraling and stuff. And basically what happens is it stopped. They must have moved further enough out of this dimensional area, and it just reappeared. Okay, so there's different kinds of dimensions that you have to keep in mind. And it's very important. You know, after a while, you'll be a pro and you'll understand what kind of dimension I'm talking without me having to be specific.
Okay? So the dimensions of time and space, and there's dimensions that just get from one place to another.
Right. The real question is what creates these portals and what creates these things without getting too far off on the subject that we're talking about. Right. Well, okay, well, then forget about it. We'll talk about flashes of balls of light.
I already wrote.
In either case, so the balls of light, they could be a variety of things. It could just be this dimension clashing with another dimension, and it creates a rippling effect. The rippling effect produces a ball of light for a second, or a flash, or something. A lot of times, energy isn't as illuminated as what we normally think of light. So you'll see like a purple flash, but it's a dark flash. You'll know it's something illuminated, but it's not really light. It's like a color of purple splashing, and it'll disappear. Same goes for different other colors, but it'll be faded and darker. But nonetheless, it's there.
So it's a clash of dimensions.
Right. It's either dimensions, or you're seeing another dimension existing that's coexisting with ours. So it seems it's kind of like taking a see-through glass picture and putting it up against this here. You can see the carpet, but you're also going to see the other glass carving on top of it. You understand what I'm saying? So what looks like it's here is really not here. It's just that they're both existing, overlapping. First of all, let's forget about poltergeists and spirits and demons and energy, because all of these things use dimensional vortexes, whether they be intensive or minor ones. Some of the stuff you'll experience when you are in a vortex is more physical. You'll feel temperature droppings very quickly, 10, 15 degrees in a matter of like a minute. That which is rather significant. You will also feel wind bursting and non-wind bursting. Keep in mind that the reason why you feel air is because even though it's another dimension opening in this one, it's completely invisible. It could be opened over our head. But the difference is you'll feel a vacuum, because it's very likely the air temperature is different. So whenever you have a vacuum, it's like when I was at work today, I went to this building and I walked up to the doors, and as soon as I opened up the door, it was like, whoa, this wind came. It wasn't windy out or anything. It was just the sheer temperature difference pulled or retracted. And that's what created the vacuum of air. And this is what happens with dimensional doors. Wind currents will just develop out of nowhere. A lot of times when you're in like maybe dimensional areas, I mean, you can have hot, cold, natural stuff, but sometimes out of the fluke, because a lot of people would say, well, what are the chances of it happening because you're there? It may happen because you're dimensionally in that state of consciousness that you're agitating the circumstances for this dimensional door to open in the first place. Not that you willfully did it, but just your presence and your consciousness and all the right circumstances made it happen. All of a sudden, you'll just have this huge gust of wind from nowhere, or from an unusual angle, which is very important, because standard wind movements usually follow a pattern. And when you get the pattern to break or go in the opposite direction or from a different course, you can almost be sure it's something dimensional. Your energy is high enough, if you have enough energy to even invoke these things. Or sometimes you just need to, it's the fly on the camel's ass to get them to move. I mean, it's just enough agitation. It's the grain of sand, a simple grain of sand that makes the pearl. It agitates the oyster to create the given effect. So, in other words, you can be at the right place at the right time, everybody else is walking through, nothing's happening, but because you decide to dimensionally walk or go into that state of consciousness, you are invoking energy. Thought is energy. It's a certain pitch. It's like a tone. And you're emanating that tone out. Even though it can't be heard, it still can be experienced. And if it can be experienced, so can it be experienced by energy fields, which may be even more sensitive to it than you are. Magnetism is the secret of the universe. It is the secret of dimension. It is the secret of everything. Magnetism is not the kind of magnetism that you think of, like standard refrigerator magnets. It's a different kind of magnetism. And this magnetism, according to Einstein and of course a lot of other people, is what keeps this giant hologram, okay, together. It's what keeps this structured format change or alter the frequency or the magnetism, and you will have a ripple in time and space. You will have an opening. Literally, a tear will open, and you'll see stars and planets and everything floating in this room. Everything has, from what I understand, an A polarity and a B polarity. There is always a movement that creates this constant, which creates this. North pole, south pole, dimension, time, space, everything. Except for one thing, what we can't figure out is the entire universe itself has an A polarity, but there is no B that can be detected. So it's the only thing that's a freak compared to everything else substantially that we can weigh, measure, or numerically figure. Which is really the reason why everything exists. So, if everything has a certain resonation from a form of magnetism, if you can change this field of magnetism, even if it's in a small portion of area, it's kind of like creating an illumination or amount of space. By creating this amount of space, you create a magnetism that cancels the effect of the AB and makes it only one. Do you follow me? You're forcing something.
So, wait a minute, okay, the force holding everything together is an A and
A and B polarity, kind of like a mix. I mean, we don't have to be very scientifically just to grasp the concept, okay? I mean, we'd have to go into a lot more detail to be actually scientifically correct. The point is that you have a grasping of how this works. The point is that there is a frequency created by these two magnetisms, okay, that holds this whole dimension together, theoretically speaking, okay? If you could create a device that could change the polarity, okay, in a given amount of space, you don't change the polarity and the whole universe changes. It's there's pressure, you know what I'm saying? It's everywhere. But I mean, you'd have to get something equally as powerful as this whole entire universe to throw the whole universe off. But you can create a little tiny amount of space that makes a little pinhole. Do you understand? And then this little pinhole is your doorway to another universe. It's like a door opening in a wall that's being pushed open by this device that's pulsating a frequency that fucks up the AB polarity for a moment. Which means that some other dimension or some other frequency is going to open on the other side randomly. And this is your other side of a dimension. Follow me?
So is that kind of an essence of what a black hole is?
No. We'll go into black holes another time. In either case, so what I'm suggesting is that, for instance, we'll use again the Bermuda Triangle. It is a amount of space under the right circumstances. Generally, we know that the Bermuda Triangle usually has its given effects during the colder months of the year. Okay? Which is usually December, January, and February. Now, for some reason, you've got to keep in mind that the axis of the planet is probably a little proportionately different, which changes the magnetism of the whole planet. Now, it's likely to assume somewhere underneath the ocean floor is probably a massive deposit of ore or iron or something that would create a mass amount of magnetism capability. Now, because the planet is a certain place, let's say, again, this hairline chance of just having enough weight to collapse the entire deck of cards, for instance, okay, 1 millimeter of weight is enough to do it, let's say. Then, hypothetically, let's say that the air temperature of the clouds, because clouds go lower or higher, this is what they call the ceiling. If you ever fly planes and stuff, they have to get broadcasts to if it's 1,500 feet or whatever amount of feet it is how fly they're allowed to fly the airplanes. Well, the pressure of the atmosphere, let's say, is heavier. It's enough with all the right circumstances together to trigger a chain reaction that creates, for a few moments, a dimensional vortex through nature. And this is the circumstances of why it happens. Very rare, very seldom, one in a million. We may never see the Bermuda Triangle ever work again because we've already changed the atmosphere over the last 50 years from chemicals and pollutions. So maybe that was the sole difference to actually make it work where 50 years ago it would happen all the time. Okay? So the point is that what I'm saying is in the ground or in the air or under right circumstances is what is opening these natural dimensional doors. the perfect air temperature, let's say if it was 94 degrees, your body weight, what you ate that day with how many minerals you have in your body, the direction of the sunlight warming the ground, expanding certain crystals or something in the earth. All these circumstances perfectly match blood. You've got yourself a physical dimensional door, or maybe one that just is there but it's not strong enough to transmit you through, so you walk right through it. It's all circumstances. Circumstances is everything. Questions?
So if a scientist or anybody tried to artificially stimulate?
Yes. One, it's probably one of the most well-guarded secrets today, because it really is the secret of space travel, time travel potentially, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And not to mention the fact that there are other people who know this. It's not just me who knows about this. There's other people who are trying to create the same things, but it's a lot of work. There was several films that were made on this. There was one supposedly that was more of a true story, which was the Philadelphia Experiment, another movie that's on the movie list.
Yeah, I thought the ship.
Where they made the whole ship disappear. And in the 1940s, they did something similar in the 1930s. And what happens is the ship from the 1930s appeared. And in 1930s, the ship from the 50s or 60s appeared there for a moment, and then they disappeared again. When the ships reappeared, evidently, all the people on there, most of them all died, because when the ship reappeared, their bodies were half in the metal walls, and their head was like half in the floor, and it's re-solidified, and they all died because the metal kind of, you know, went through their body. But you should watch it, and it'll give you a basic concept. But what they did is, supposedly, is they took these four trucks that had generators built in, and they had what looked like satellite dishes that could emit B-polarity or A-polarity magnetism, and they hit this ship from it, bombarded it with it, and of course it created a vortex, and the ship disappeared for a moment. Silence.
So was anything obtained besides the fact that they could do it? Was anything else?
A great wealth of information were obtained, but we may never know what that information is. I mean, I probably do, but that's a whole other conversation. There's only so much worthwhile information to give to you guys that you guys are going to absorb. Your data, by the time we're done tonight, your head should be like going dump, dump, dump. There's no sense in giving you useless data until you're ready for it and you can do something with it.